Welcome to episode 184 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
There is too much stuff to fit in the episode, so we have links on the show page, which you can find by visiting thelabwithbrad.com. I ran into this website. It said find minerals, fossils, and gems in Washington State.
Wow.
That's one of the links we have on the show page.
Is it actually a guide as much as it sounds like?
I don't know. I can't remember. I read it. It had some factoids there in my head. If you allow me, I will spit them out.
Dear Phil, shut up for a second. All right. I'm ready.
All right. I got two examples. Agates.
Which is fun to say. Agate.
I've been wondering what these things are for the longest time. Usually occur in igneous rock, which means it's lava that cooled into rock directly. Okay. But they can appear in sedimentary or metamorphic rocks as well. What are those? Oh, they're rocks.
Types of
rocks. Sedimentary rocks is sand, silt and mud and so forth that got cemented together into a rock. Metamorphic rock is a rock that gets squeezed and pinched and heated and changed from one rock to another.
Mm-hmm.
It metamorphosized. Right, so those are the three main types of rock.
We didn't talk about igneous.
Yes, we did.
Did we?
Yes, igneous rock. That's when lava hardens into rock.
Yeah, I knew that.
That's the first thing I said. Were you here?
I know.
So those are the three main types of rock. Agates show up inside cavities. And igneous rock, and you know, that was lava, it can show up in a cavity where there was something that boiled off. They form from the outside in.
Ah, neat.
Yes. They are depositing silica, good old silicon dioxide, and, you know, all the various minerals that can form with that, with the various impurities.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets laid down layer by layer. This is getting carried by the water.
Okay.
And what it's doing is it's grabbing material from rock and depositing it elsewhere. It's called chemical weathering.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, there's a couple of ways it happens. One is a rock gets exposed and starts to oxidize. Or a rock encounters water. And sometimes you can end up with the... I keep waiting for you to just suddenly cue the story.
Are you talking about the granite?
Yes, I am.
I thought we were going to talk about that.
Whatever. Yes, but it fits now.
I had a geology teacher, and I brought him two hunks of granite. One I grabbed on top of the mountain, and the other one I pulled out of the river. And the one in the river was super flaky. It was, and he had a term for it. I don't remember what it was called, but chemical weathering, yeah, that applies as well.
So, that silicaceous ooze, I get to use that term again, gets coated on the inside of the cavity, hardens into rock. Sometimes they are hollow.
They don't, geodes?
Yeah, they don't fill in all the way. And then if they do fill in all the way, often the middle is either quartz and sometimes amethyst.
Ah, okay.
And then there's the other one I want to mention that was off this list, which is petrified wood.
Ooh.
Which is apparently the state gem of Washington State.
I had no idea.
We'll get back to petrified wood, because it takes a while to make it. And from 1.2 billion years ago to about 750 billion years ago, that's all during the Precambrian Super Eon.
I love these names. Okay.
Washington State, along with the rest of what was going to be America eventually, was stuck sort of in the middle of a supercontinent called Rodinia.
Mm-hmm.
Rodinia. There was apparently an inland sea or a flood basin where a whole lot of sediment got laid down for a very long time. There wasn't much life yet. Hey, you get sandstone, you get limestone in there.
Hmm.
And I know what you're thinking, Phil. You're thinking limestone. Doesn't that come from fossils? I thought this was before there was much life.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, because that's what I was thinking. And I had to dig around for a while. Because all these papers that talked about limestone sort of hinted at it, but none of them came right out and said, yes, there is such a thing as a limestone mineral. Life did not make it. It just happened. Calcium carbonate dissolved in the water or forming in the water precipitates out, and you get inorganic limestone.
Okay. So organic limestone is just life helped it
life exist. Helped it. Well, life's really good at making calcium carbonate, right? For other forces to make it, it has to be pretty hot and under a certain amount of pressure, and there has to be the right kind of water around. For life can make it in a calcium-poor environment and at around room temperature.
So limestone is really happy that life's got kicking.
Yeah, it is, as far as how much of the earth am I going to be. Then Rodinia broke apart. And the western shoreline was a few miles west of present-day Spokane and Pullman. If you're looking at the state of Washington map, folks, that means most of the state wasn't here. There's just a little sliver way over there to the east.
Okay, so most of Washington is recent, comparatively speaking.
Yeah, some of it is real recent. Last chunk of ice that came through the neighborhood left somewhere between 10 and 12,000 years ago. Right? That's like last week.
As far as rocks are concerned, yeah.
Anyway, Rodinia broke apart, and Washington State, from before the Cambrian to about the end of the Carboniferous, was a shoreline. And not much happened. It was pretty tectonic. It was stable, unlike today. Something happened in the Devonian, though. Apparently, the Pacific, bottom of the Pacific started to subduct under the continent for the first time.
Oh, okay.
Part of the plate had been sort of attached to the continental shelf. Something changed, and the plate starts slipping under the continent.
Subduction is when really neat stuff starts happening.
Yeah. But there wasn't that much of it going on yet. They called it intermittent.
Intermittent subduction is geologists speak for boring.
Well, the continents were still moving around. They were jostling things around. They eventually assemble into Pangaea. Hmm. And then Pangaea breaks up. There's a new spreading zone, a new place where new ocean floor is being made. In fact, there's a new ocean. The baby Atlantic opens up. And now, the chunk that is North America is being pushed west, towards ocean floor, whose greatest ambition in life is to go east.
Okay.
So the Earth's crust is made up of plates. And when they come together, sometimes they are being spread apart as new plate is being made. And sometimes one plate dives underneath the other one. When that they call that subduction, and it's the heaviest plate that dives down.
I've heard that ocean plates are denser. I don't remember why.
Well, they have had billions of tons of water sitting on top of them for billions of years.
Yeah. That would make a difference. I forget how heavy water is. Okay.
Greenland, right? Mm-hmm. You ever seen that? They show how the land has been kind of compressed by the ice sitting on top of it, and water is denser than ice, so sometimes the plates that are meeting are both under the ocean. Then, generally speaking, the oldest plate is the one that subducts, that goes underneath. Because, generally speaking, the older they are, the more dense they've become.
This all makes sense.
But what was happening, as the entire North American continent was being pushed towards the west, is that an oceanic plate starts diving under the western edge of North America. And this is when things start to get interesting. When that plate dives down, it goes down at an angle, somewhere between 25 and 45 degrees. And as it's going down there, it's getting heated up.
Getting pushed into the mantle.
Which, yes. Yeah, the mantle is rock mostly.
It's kind of, what do you call that?
If you bent Shifty. Down and touched the mantle, it would feel like rock to you. Right?
Wouldn't that hurt?
Depends upon how deep you are. But over long periods of time, it acts viscous, goopy.
Viscous. That's what I was looking for.
And under the right circumstances, it will melt. Like at a subduction zone. Those rocks in that crust are getting metamorphosized on their trip downward as the pressures and temperatures increase. If those rocks get forced back up to the surface, we get some interesting metamorphic rock. It can happen. This is not a smooth trip for the crust. It buckles and jerks and explodes.
It's like a brother holding your head underwater.
Crust is made up of most of the... I never did that.
I thought we were just going to let it go.
No. All right. Nightmare you had. So, anyways. Crust is made up of the lighter elements. That's why it floats on the top of the rest of the rock. They melt easier. So as it's getting forced down there, that stuff starts to melt. And another strange thing that happens is that water is getting cooked out of those rocks. A lot of these minerals formed in contact with the seawater, so they have water in them, either bound up chemically or trapped physically. Both. And that's getting cooked out. And an odd thing about water under these conditions is that it lowers the melting point of the mantle rock.
Which is a neat trick.
Yeah. They call it supercritical water. It would be steam if it wasn't under so much pressure. And it sort of acts both like a vapor and a liquid. There's a bunch of stuff it will dissolve under those conditions that it does not dissolve normally. Gold, uranium, silver.
Well, this is neat water.
This is expensive water. That lava, being not so dense as either the mantle or the crust that's still diving down, gets forced upward. And then we get a volcanic arc. If it happens on the seabed, you end up with like a chain of islands that explode.
Sorry.
If it happens over the land, you get a chain of volcanoes that explode. Got a lot of water in there. The water really wants to turn into steam. So those type of volcanoes do get rather explodey.
Violent.
Because the crust is going down at an angle, the place where this happens is 100 miles often from where the plate is actually starting to dive down. So while North America is headed west, the ocean floor is headed east. And it's carrying some islands with them.
Okay.
You're getting volcanic arcs. Remember those? These are some of those explodey islands. Headed towards the Washington shore.
It's like underwater mines, only they're not underwater.
They're not underwater. Yeah. No, they are made of rock. And they come and they slam into North America. And end up being part of North America.
Yeah.
When that happens, the plate that they're on stops diving down. They can't. They can't force that big chunk of island underneath the plate anymore.
I see.
And sort of the next fragment of plate over starts subducting. This happens like at least three times that we know of.
So, North America, you compared it to a bulldozer.
Yeah. It's just sort of picking up. We got four different island chains that hit us, and there's at least two belts of ocean floor that got folded up in the process.
This is just a bigger plate on the way west.
Yeah, and that's all of the state from Spokane and Pullman all the way over to the coast.
Yeah, it wins on the push and pull sort of war. So, bulldozer.
We're also getting a lot of sediments. Because as soon as those mountains' rocks got exposed, they're exposed to the air and rainfall. And they start weathering. And that all ends up as a sediment in the rivers, and that gets dumped down. Did I mention, back when I was taking Washington State history, the chief mineral resource of the area turns out to be sand and gravel?
We picked it up along the way. Yeah. We're made of it. Yeah.
Lots of that. Between 17 and 13 million years ago, large rents in the crust formed. And a very fluid form of lava called basalt poured out across the landscape. Now, Hawaii, for example, is a basaltic eruption. It's very liquid water, very liquid lava pouring out of the vents. This was a flood basalt.
So not very violent. Just sort of oozy.
At least on the Hawaii side. You do get volcanic bombs out of the Hawaii eruptions. Just chunks of lava that harden in midair and then hit things.
Oh, goodness sakes.
And yeah, those things can range anywhere from like droplet size to barn sized. So, volcanic bombs. Why do you have me talking about volcanic bombs? That's one way you get pumice, by the way.
Oh. Hardening in midair?
Mm-hmm. Or it's about any time lava is outgassing at the same time as hardening quickly.
Pumice.
So, that covered lots of places with a layer of basalt. And basalt is what they call it if it hardens on the surface. Granite is what they call it if it hardens underneath the surface. It's basically the same stuff. It's not the only stuff that'll harden on the surface and underneath, but most of it is this stuff. Basalt and granite.
Basalt. That's where I live. I live on basalt. Yeah.
You do.
Yakima, Washington. The whole place.
We get into some really recent history here, because there was the Juan de Fuca plate, as it's been sliding under us, brought a crescent of basalt that had formed on the ocean floor, unsuccessfully attempted to subduct it, and it got pushed up to become the Olympic Peninsula.
Oh, okay, cool.
At the same time, we got the folding that pushed up all those chunks of granite that had been made long before for the Cascades, and this is about 5 to 7 million years ago.
Mm-hmm. The same time the granite's being pushed up, it's pushing up on the basalt, the floods of basalt that have happened. And so those are kind of wrinkling, so to speak. But while that's happening, the rivers, because it's happening so slow, the rivers stay where they are. So that's why there's these large cuts in the basalt, and you can see in them and see that columnar basalt that is really neat looking and hard to pronounce.
They're really recent, really young mountains, the Cascades and the Olympics of Washington State. And the upwelling is still going on. The Cascades are still growing.
You can kind of tell the age of mountains. Like the Rockies are smoother than the Cascades, and the Cascades are smoother than the Olympics. The Olympics you look at, they're really jagged. And I'm pretty sure they're the youngest.
Oh, yeah. You've been on Hurricane Ridge?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. About 2 million years ago, a series of ice ages came to town. At least four times, a giant continental-sized sheet of ice came plowing through the area.
Plowing, but not very fast.
It was moving faster than the continents, at any rate. The last time, about 18,000 years ago. And it left as recently as 10,000 years ago. Somewhere between 12,000 to 10,000 years ago. During that time when it was melting, that last chunk of glaciers, rivers would occasionally get dammed by chunks of ice.
Mm-hmm.
This happened to the Columbia a number of times. Got some pretty extensively, pretty good-sized chunks of water held back, and then the glacier would break free and we'd get a big old flood.
Big old flood.
Then, in the northern part of Idaho, part of the continental glacier dammed what they called the Forks River and made this gigantic glacier lake.
Mm-hmm.
And then that broke loose and poured out more water than all the rivers of today combined.
That's just amazing to think of.
There is a chunk of landscape here in Washington State that has big gouges in it. These were caused by these gigantic floods.
Channeled scablands you're talking about, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, remember the petrified wood I mentioned back in the day?
Yes. When we started this episode, yes.
So these poor trees decided they would grow in this spot. But it was Washington State, so they got all buried in ash.
Mm-hmm.
Then their wood got replaced by chemicals getting leached out of the ash by the water. They became mm-hmm. fossilized, petrified wood. That stuff is pretty fragile. The ash was going to be washed away, and then the wood would be broken up. But fortunately, a big layer of basalt covered them up.
Fortunately for us.
So we'd never have found them if that layer of basalt was still there. But this ridiculously giant flood conveniently carved away chunks of basalt for us. And there, still held in the ash, is the Petrified Forest. It's down by the Columbia River at a town called Vantage.
Little tourist trap. I mean, nothing better to do. You just drop by and there's trees.
Yeah, I got a link to that as well. That's our other, that's our state gemstone right there. Petrified wood. So that is a brief thumbnail sketch of the geological history of Washington State. You might have noticed that I was mentioning things like the Cambrian and the Carniferous and the Devonian, these periods we've talked about already. I didn't mention any of the periods when any of the more recent stuff happened, because I don't know yet. But we'll start picking that up next time. See you then.
Bye.